Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Shilpa Medicare's Q2 FY 2024 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touchtone phone. To remove yourself from the queue, please enter star and two. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddharth Rangnekar from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Rangnekar.
Thank you, Michelle. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the conference call hosted by the management of Shilpa Medicare Limited to discuss the second quarter and first half performance for the period ended September 30, 2023, and the discussion on the strategic initiatives that are underway. The management is being represented by Mr. Om Prakash Somani, Chairman of the company, Mr. Vishnukant Butada, Managing Director, and Mr. Alpesh Dalal, Chief Financial Officer. We shall have Mr. Butada lead the discussion with his perspectives on the business's performance and the strategic overview. He will be followed by Mr. Alpesh Dalal, who will give us perspectives on the financial performance. After the management comments, there will be an opportunity for getting your queries answered. I would like to state that some of the statements made on today's call could be forward-looking in nature, and a detailed disclaimer in this regard has been captured in the conference call invitation available on the stock exchange website. I would now like to invite Mr. Butada to take this discussion forward. Thank you, and over to you, Vishnuji.
Thanks a lot. Welcome to our call to discuss the performance of Shilpa Medicare during the second quarter of the year 2023-2024. As always, I shall commence with the highlight of the operating performance and touch upon initiatives segment-wise. Our CFO, Alpesh Dalal, will share perspective on the financial performance by the company. Following our opening comments, we shall invite queries from the participant in order to address those comprehensively. SML comprise of three segments. Firstly, the API, which is a major segment for us. Building upon our strengths in developing and commercializing products, we are moving the business upchain. We are exploring the non-oncology API segments, which has a high growth potential or can serve as an import substitute API. We are committed to facilitating the successful introductions of the novel products within API. We are already engaged with our clients to build the peptide business. As you will be aware that we have completed the required upgradation of our facilities for it already. We are moving forward with the polymer as well, where these will be aimed at an innovator seeking quality products. As previously mentioned, we are actively streamlining R&D expenditures and expenditure the monetization process. By concentrating our effort there, we aim to consistently lower R&D costs, resulting in a substantial saving that will positively impact our cash flow without compromising on the quality of the product research. And of course, the niche product developments. Within API, we have completed the augmentation of our facilities to offer peptide, polymer, and CDMO services. These new subcategories within API represent a setup in value creation for us, but conversely are associated with a certain gestation period. We are taking exhibit batches of few products to our clients in peptides, and response is likely to translate into firm commitments. This segment also makes polymers, which are high-end products within API, which we are making for the innovators. Our CDMO business is ramping up well in a sizable order positions. We are also venturing up as a strategy into non-oncology APIs wherever we can make an impact. During the quarter, we filed six new DMFs to add to 237 DMF filings across geographies. Some of these APIs are for the oncology products that will see expire through 2027. I'm glad to share that Shilpa Pharma Life Sciences Raichur facility for API completed a GMP inspection by PMDA of Japan successfully. We make oncology and non-oncology products here. Moving in a formulation, we are scaling up the launches through our third-party arrangements. Preparations are also ongoing for the launch of the pramipexole injection in U.S. market via MDL Pharmaceutical LLC. Another significant product will be SML NUD-07, indicated for the NAFLD, where we are expecting to complete the study soon in Q4 2024-25. Also, one more NDA is actively reviewed at U.S. FDA. We will be mostly we should be able to get that also approval by September-December 2024. We are also adding to the company's complete phase 2 trials for its topical lotions, SML Top-09, for the treatments of androgenic alopecia. Product development completed and phase 2 trials completed and phase 3 trials will be initiated in Q3 2023. Shilpa's SML Top-09 topical lotion product is covered by the granted patents in the countries up to June 2038 in India, USA, China, Japan, Korea, and the patents, of course, that the pending patents are reviewed in Europe. The global alopecia market is valued at $8.2 billion in 2022 and expected to grow at the CAGR of 9% from 2023 to 2030. I would like to share that our Jhanjhala facility has undergone a successful inspection by Anvisa of Brazil in August and also received the GMP approval from UAE and Australia. We utilize these units for sterile injection and non-sterile oral solids for the cancer and adjuvant therapies. This marks the third major regulatory inspection following Russia, Australia, Canada that we have cleared in last two years. Recently, our Jhanjhala facility also recently for cause inspection has happened from 9th November with the 10 observations. I'd like to inform you that none of the observations relates to the data integrity or has been listed as a repeat observations. Our commitments towards the opening of the new market for our product is thus duly exemplified. We also received approval for 3 products in Mexico market, and one of 3 products is first generic approval in Mexico. Recently, we have received marketing authorization from the U.K. for beta-hydroxybutyrate oral dispersible film 24 mg. This is the first of its kind approval for 24 mg strength in a film formulation in the U.K. This is very much in keeping with our endeavor to create value in the business through differentiation. This product is used for the treatment of vertigo, hearing loss, and nausea associated with the Menkes syndrome. Ours will be the film formulation format, thereby enhancing the patient compliance and ease of administration of the product. It remains our earnest intention to further de-risk our business mix with the help of differentiated products and the complex products. Our efforts to introduce transdermal patch-based offering are on track. Our initial products are in a different stage of clinical studies and plans to go for the global market. And regarding the Biocare facility, this facility is also, which is an albumin facility. This facility is also the construction and the erection is on track and will complete by June 2024. Currently, phase 1 study is also going on for the albumin, and it's running smoothly. By the time we complete this plant, the phase 1 study also will be completed. Speaking now about the Shilpa Biologics, we have launched high-concentration adalimumab in India over the brand name Oradani, which is a crucial step into the Realm, our biological offerings aimed at enhancing patient comfort in treating rheumatoid arthritis. Piggybacking on India approvals and launch, our strategy extends to tapping into various international markets with this product. This marks the first several very good potential products that we have lined up. For the next two years, there will be a series of complex products coming from the Shilpa in addition to the extension of the existing products into the new countries. We are looking at robust improvement in cash flows. As our business mix evolves, we will have a higher stake in higher margin therapies through a new product and platforms. Initiatives are also afloat to reduce cost of operation and cost of development alike, and net results being a tighter cost profile that will allow us to retain better margin as growth. I thus draw my opening remarks to a close and ask Alpesh, our CFO, to continue this discussion with his perspective on the financial performance. Alpesh, over to you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, and happy Diwali to all all who are participants and to everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good morning and happy Diwali to all of you. I will now provide the financial highlights for the second quarter and half year ended 30th September. So from revenue perspective, we reported a strong quarter with consolidated revenues aggregating to rupees 315 crores, which registered a growth of 20% sequentially and 18% year-on-year. Also helped us improve our profitability with EBITDA of 62 crores as compared to 50 crores in the previous quarter and 16.6 crores during the same quarter last year. So we have had significant improvement in EBITDA happening. And this NNC EBITDA performance has also translated into a positive PAT level result for us. So for this quarter, we had a PAT of 1.6 crore as compared to a loss of 18.6 crore during the same quarter last year. Now, quickly, let's dwell on to into our financials for the first half of FY24. So our revenues stood at 577 crores, reflecting an increase of 8%. And EBITDA was at 112 crores, registering a growth of 148% over H1 of FY23. Right? And now, moving on to other financial parameters, our net debt as at 31st September was 840 crores. And our capex in the first half was 64 crores, majority of which has been invested into our upcoming aluminum manufacturing facility. That has been approximately about 52 crores of the 64 crores has been invested in that. And during the first half of current year, we have generated positive operating cash flow of 91 crores. Now, these positive cash flows are a direct result of our ongoing effort to streamline our operating expenses and R&D spends without compromising the essential development activities, which are crucial for our overall business objectives. So, you know, by and large, I think that our business is back on track. And with that closing remarks, I would like to open this forum for Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. You may please press star and one to ask questions. Participants who wishes to ask questions may please press star followed by one. We'll take the first question from the line of Sheikh Mohammed Ayaz, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations for the excellent set of numbers. My question regarding the US FDA for cause inspection with 10 observation with form 483, how we can take it as a positive or as a negative, and what will be the next development regarding the form 483 we have received in 2020? Hello?
Yeah, I heard you. So the we have clearly given that this is for cause inspection, because the in 2020 we have issued this import alert on this current facility which has been inspected. So at the closure, we have been received with the 10 483, which has also been communicated. But the none of this 483 has a repeat observation. And the second one is no data integrity in this. Answering your specific questions, should we take positive or negative? Trust us, nobody in the will understand or comment on able to comment on this. That is what, whatever we know, the fact we have been informed to all these people. We have to submit this report within 15 working days to the FDA on the compliance and the or the timelines of whatever the observations has been issued, which is a normal practice. We will do that. Of course, we have to take the help of this the all these FDA ex-inspectors and all who can help us in drafting the reply. We are committed to do this. One thing is that the remediation measures which we have been taking and this whatever we have committed to the FDA, that is the reason why none of this in the 10, the repeat observations are there. That shows that the remediation measures and the commitment what we have given to the FDA has been followed by us. So, you know, we have to submit this report and wait for the FDA. That much I can tell you.
How much time it will take, maximum and minimum?
No, you never know. You do not know what is the time. What is the timeline we know from our side is that within 15 working days, we have to submit our reports on the observations. Either we have to complete that or we have to give the timelines in that. That means we are going to complete on that. That is in our hand. Rest all is the, you know, the review which will be going on to the FDA. That they only know this on that.
Okay, that is helpful. Sir, another question is regarding the demerger and right issue process. Where it is currently and where it is going forward?
So, which demerger are you talking about, Sheikh Ayaz Mangan, if I may ask?
Shilpa Biologicals Limited and Shilpa Pharmaceuticals something. I don't know, we are making two companies.
So basically, see, what we had done was, we had done a slump sale of our API business into Shilpa Pharma Life Sciences from Shilpa Medicare. That anyways got completed on 30th of June 2022. So it's been more than, you know, one year and three, 4 months that has got completed. There is no further demerger or anything happening there. And as far as rights issue is concerned, we are, you know, evaluating the overall prospects. We are in active, we are in touch with our board members to determine, you know, the way forward, what is required to be done. So at the right time, we will update the shareholders about, you know, where and how we are progressing on that.
Okay, so regarding the two entities, the another will remain as a subsidiary like that. What is that thing actually?
Yeah, Shilpa Pharma Life Sciences, your question is Shilpa Pharma Life Sciences a subsidiary of Shilpa Medicare? It is. It is a 100% subsidiary of Shilpa Medicare.
And what about Shilpa Biologics Limited?
Shilpa Biologics is also 100% subsidiary.
Okay, so both will remain as the same. Shilpa Medicare is the whole owner of the both companies, right?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. We'll take the next question from the line of Tushar Bora from NK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Wishing everyone a happy Diwali. And congratulations to the management for a much better set of numbers this time. Sir, a couple of questions. First, just want to understand in more detail the licensing policy and, you know, the strategies that we're working towards. Monetization of the different products through licensing income and collaborations, because that seems to now, you know, it looks like it will be a consistent and meaningful component of the overall revenue and especially in terms of profitability. So if you can qualify the opportunities that you're pursuing in licensing and monetization of specific products.
See, as we have mentioned, that we are working on a differentiated and the complex products, either in the injectable and the oral. both segments were working. So what we have done it for last 3, 4, 5 years, whatever we have done, we wanted to have the consistent monetizations of our assets. So it is not that the one-off things will happen and the next quarter it will not be there. We are trying to see that once we have a phase one completed, or let buy is over, or the pivotal buy is over, or after filing, we wanted to have this the licensing arrangement, which whatever the current licensing fees what we are getting in last 2 quarters is with the either on the you know, the initial stage licensing fees is there. So the whatever currently we are doing it in the licensing arrangement is for the monetization of the assets currently we are having it in our R&D pipeline. That shows that the companies trusted us, because nobody will give the licensing fees without verifying the documents and without you know, getting them ascertained that the product has a strength, and once they launch into their respective markets, they will get a revenue, much more revenue what they are giving it to us currently. So this is the one licensing revenue. Then we have a supply arrangement. Then we have a some part, some products where we have profit share arrangement also along with. So this is what currently we have given a thought process on our the monetizations of our existing assets, and the continuously on the whatever the products currently we have it.
So just to further understand this, maybe how many products from your existing set have you qualified where you think that there are licensing opportunities, you know, which can be pursued? And or what is the licensing revenue component that you think that on average over the next few quarters consistently we may be able to book? Some quarters will be more lumpy, but is there some guidance that we can have as to what percentage of the revenue would come from licensing income across say FY24 or FY25? Generally, how this would work?
Answering your question on percentage of revenue is really not possible to answer this. Currently, what we are trying to, whatever the 2 quarters you are seeing it, another 2-3 quarters, definitely we have a visibility of at least 2 quarters where the licensing revenue will be there. The one more questions which you have it that how certain we are there. So I mentioned that the 2 quarters definitely will have this, the next 2 quarters for the sure. And as and when we progress phase one to phase three, phase three to the filing, this continuous, these things will be there. I mentioned already the like one more NDA is also at the review stage, at the active review stage at the FDA, like Fremitex said. Like the one more product we have it, which is already disclosed also, Bortezomib RTU, which is RTD. That also product is now at the final review at the FDA. After this inspection, probably the whatever we were eagerly awaiting these FDA inspections at our Jhachala facility. Now it has been inspected. Now we need to comply whatever the observations they have given it and submit them the satisfactory reply. This is the most crucial event probably will again. Now without that we were having this revenue at our portfolio. Once we get cleared, hopefully if we do that and submit the report and FDA accept, then the licensing revenue can be, you know, continuously will be there and more also it will be there.
Got it, sir. Next question, just to understand where we are on the albumin, I understand phase one trials are in progress. You mentioned on the facility also, but we were also looking at developing albumin for other grades, right? Excipin grade and, you know, so where are we on that opportunity, sir?
Yes, you are correct. The albumin is the therapeutic grade is one grade which is widely used because this is a therapeutic grade and all over the world there will be always shortage and there is a huge requirements of this. But and with the tag that this is at the price is the little lower in the market. But we are working now the phase one study which is going on for the therapeutic grade. For the excipient grade, which is a much higher cost, and very few people are there in the world to give the excipient grade because it's a 99.99% purity, and it can be used as a drug carrier and the vaccine also it can be used. There are several uses for the albumin derivatives. So several things can be used for the excipient grade. That already we have completed all our validation batches. And soon we will file this from our existing biological facility. We are making this DMF grade excipient grade the albumin, and hopefully I think by March we should be able to file this the DMF also for that.
So sir, we would need the DMF approvals to be able to supply for excipient grade, or post filing you know you would be able to approach clients. How would that work?
It's depends on the authority. We will file a if they consider as only, then they will. There is no need of once again, you know, coming for the inspection and approving it. But some cases they may do this as a approval also. So it's not nothing has been. The procedure is not clear in the various authorities how they will take it, because it's albumin and it's a drug carrier very actively involved into the formulation. So they may think that to coming for the inspection also. That is the reason I said, you know, once our facility is ready, this biological bigger facility is ready, we can definitely start immediately the excipient grade at least for sure. Because then it will be a technology transfer from our existing unit to this the biocare unit.
Got it, sir. And one last, if I may quickly check. On the biologic side, other than adalimumab, which you mentioned we have launched, what are the other opportunities on the biologic side we are pursuing, specifically on CDMO? And staying on CDMO, on the small molecule, which is API CDMO also, is there any interesting developments that you may want to highlight, sir?
Aflibercept phase 3 studies already, we have received the approval from the SEC meeting. Our CT batch is currently going on. So probably we will start this by the, before March, definitely we will start the phase 3 study for the aflibercept. So which the development is completed, phase 1 also completed, we received the phase 3 study approval. So we will start working on aflibercept, which is again a very good molecule. Nobody is there in the India market other than the innovator. The second, our the current scenario in our biologic is that we will take additionally two products. The development are at a little advanced stage. I will not be able to disclose the name currently, but the two product biologicals are there. Recently in our investor presentation, we already given that we signed one CDMO project with the Korean customer who has, you know, visited our facility, and after seeing our facility, he has awarded first product on a, in a Korea market. So that CDMO work already we have started. Every quarter probably two CDMO projects, we are thinking that at least two CDMO projects should be added in our biological facility. So working on a one, on a adalimumab like molecules where we have an immediate commercial revenue. Second one on a phase 3, the study will take at least 1 year for the aflibercept. So aflibercept is a molecule which can go the. The next two products will come into the pipeline, which will give next 6 months to 1 year down the line. Phase 1 and phase 3 study will be completing during that time also. And the CDMO projects. So combination of this all will see that the revenue, the sustainable revenue should start in the biologics.
Thank you, sir. I'll join back in queue for more. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Jigar Walia from OHM Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for this opportunity. My question pertains to the topical lotion POP09. So if you can help understand the nature of the trial and more details around it, and where are we doing, and how many, how intensive or this thing it will be. And once we start or initiate, say, in Q3, typically how long would it go on? Yeah, something. I mean, the global market
about
is...
About the top 09 you are asking,
no? The thing, which area, I mean, which part, how much is the addressable part for us based on our trials and etc.
No, we were not able to hear you properly. Could you please tell once again?
Yeah, I will. Sorry about bad throat. My apologies. apologies for that. My question pertains to the topical lotion alopecia product that we have, and wanted to understand more with regards to the trials. So if you can help understand how big is these trials and are we doing it, and once we start in Q3, and not typically how long will it take, and of the overall global market which is there, what is our addressable based on our trials that we are doing right now, and the market that we will be planning for.
Okay, I think we have given you this phase 2 trials, phase 1 and phase 2 trials is completed for this particular product. Phase 3 trials, the CT batches are going on. We will start the phase 3 also of this particular product now. And we have a granted patent in India, USA, China, Japan, Korea. I mentioned up to June 38, we have this granted patent on this. And of course, Europe, it is still, the review is ongoing. The global alopecia market is around 8.2 billion in 22 and growing 9% CAGR till 2030. So the and we are trying to launch currently, because India itself and the ROW market itself is a huge market. We have already drafted this, the our scientific advice for the EU market, and soon we will be received from them. US, we have received already phase 3 comment for the comment from the US FDA. So then once we have this EU and US combined reply, we will probably want to study to make it and launch into the global market. So this is what the current scenario of this particular product.
So right now the phase 3 will be more targeted towards India and ROW markets, and after you get the advice from EU that you will incorporate the phase 3 for EU and US both together.
Yes, you are correct.
So, and this under EU feedback we'll get in Q4, and thereafter we need to plan for phase 3. So these would be separate phase 3s then, which one you're doing for India ROW, which you'll initiate in Q3, and there'll be the separate this thing for US, Europe, that you will consider post whatever Q4 or in FY25. So that's right, sir. And if you can help understand in terms of generally the cost as far as, and would there be any monetization before for the US or the Europe trends?
No, all options will be open. So I'm not, today we are not partnered with anyone. So once we have the phase 3 study, some data is already there with us from the India market. That will help us in the, monetization of these assets when we go for the EU and US market. So, answering your specific question, yes, still not monetized, but possibility, because a lot of people will be interested in such products. Probably you must have seen several deals into the market where this alopecia market is growing, and a lot of people are interested in this such type of products.
Right. And just generally to understand how big is the India ROW market, I mean, in terms of million dollars or whatever.
Currently, it is not that known, but I think more than around $1.5 billion market is there for the Indian ROW, at least.
Okay, great, sir. Got it. And for the non-oncology also, NUDO7, any sense in terms of the incremental cost which are there, and would any of these two products be in your monetization pipeline for the next 2 or 3 years, in the next couple of years?
You are talking on NUD07?
Licensing, or the licensing should continue subject to the 483s and all, based on the other pipelines, or would these also be potential? Because for the licensing, we don't understand product specific, but whenever these certain large products are involved, or the known products. So it would just be good to understand if which all, I mean, have been licensed out or monetized.
So these products, like monetization or licensing strategy would be dependent on, you know, would be taken up as we do further development, because, you know, all these products, basically, you know, the longer you go in your development, the better is the licensing potential. So we have to strike a balance between the cost and the benefit. So I think some of these things are regularly monitored at the management team level to determine what should be you know, licensed out at what point in time. So I think it would be a little premature to talk about, you know, product specific licensing you know, strategy that we would adopt. I think as and when we you know, decide we progress further, we'll keep updating all of you.
Got it. So other question is with regards to Adalimumab, how is your sense in terms of its contribution towards the current quarter's performance? It's been quite good, but has it been as per your expectations or above that, or and has it been a meaningful contributor in a reasonable contributor in Q2 towards margins or top line? And with the marketing partner, should this grow meaningfully larger?
Yeah, recently launched, I think still yet to know.
Yeah, early days for us.
Early days for us. We are recently launched. Because as you know, rheumatic arthritis, people will not change so easily. So once you start with one therapy, you have to continue with that therapy. The new patients need to be added, or existing patients, slowly it will be shifted. So it is too early to comment on this. But by moving by the biting, I think before March, or at around March to April to June quarter, we'll have a realistic figure to comment on this.
Understood. No, that's so I think compliments that for the overall numbers also, despite, for the overall business. And so last question pertains to our debt and the finance cost, and also we have an pipeline with regards to the products and trials and everything. So based on this, how should we look at these aspects? Because whatever we are doing is also quite great, but there is a kind of a reflection of it into maybe the debt and the finance cost and overall. So, I mean, if you can help understand, how should we look at that part?
Yeah, so I think your voice was not very clear, but if I understand it correctly, you wanted to understand about the increased finance costs and how should we look at it going forward, right?
Yes, sir.
Is that what you wanted to know?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, see, basically, you know, this particular, you know, finance cost, if you recall, even during our last call, we had mentioned that we have raised an NCD, right? And we have reorganized our debt in a manner that, you know, we do not have any repayment burden coming up for a little over 2 years. So, but we do have option and opportunity to start prepaying after 1 year. So, you know, based on the cash flow that we generate, what we really wanted to do was we wanted to provide, you know, the right kind of cash flow support for the business to grow. So with the help of improved cash flows and all, we should be in a position to start paying those NCDs faster. And also, we are looking at various other strategic options that we have been contemplating, which could result into, you know, certain cash coming in, some equity flows coming in and all, which could then be utilized to lower the cost. But till the time, you know, we take any such step, the finance cost is likely to remain a bit on a higher side.
Perfect, perfect. Understood perfectly, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Participants who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one on their touchtone phone. The next question is from the line of Bhagwan Chaudhary from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations on the good set of numbers. So one thing on this licensing income side, if you can just help me to understand that, what I understand out of this is there are two ways to look at this. One is that in future, this product could have given us a better cash flow if we could have not monetized it. So one way is looking at this. And the other way is that there are the opportunities in the other market where we cannot go directly. So we are getting some clients and, from that markets, and then we are out licensing to those markets. So in that scenario, this is a win-win situation for both. Okay. Sir, I'm just trying to understand this out licensing. It is better, sir? Okay. I'll try, sir. Actually, I'm trying just to understand on this out-licensing deal. So there are two ways to understand this. One is that if we could not have monetized on these molecules, so one way could have been that in future, this could have been given a better cash flow to us. So this is the one way to looking at this. And the other way is that there are the other markets where we cannot reach directly. So some of clients are trying to get these products for those markets, and then we are out licensing. So I just want to understand that where we are actually. In that scenario, it's a win-win situation for us as well as for the client. So just you can highlight and just you can see that where we are, what kind of products these are, where we are out licensing, and we're looking at this opportunity.
Answering your questions, you know, the out-licensing the deal, as Alpesh was mentioning, we are doing at a various levels. Some we are doing at the, once we complete this, the development, and we file the NDA specific, one example I'll give, the Prematexed. We file the NDA, then we license it. So that it was very clear to everyone that it is filed. First query was received, and then it is easy licensing because nothing is pending in that. That the you complete this the pilot bio or the any complex development of phase one studies completed, and then you go to the licensing partner where we convince them that this is what we have, this data, this is what next phase is like this, and the signing amount is that, and each milestone there will be a licensing revenue. Third one is you complete the pivotal and you are ready for filing. Like in an oral product, one of the classic example, recently we filed in the Europe, Nilotini, one product. So what we have done it there, we completed the pivotal bio and everything, and we were probably will get the early launch also in that market. After that, we have licensed it with the partner. So it's a combination of all, Alpesh mentioned already, that the, we do depends on the nature of the product, risk of the product, expenses of the products, how we wanted to hedge it. So all this, take, the permission, combination, we discuss as a team internally and we license it. But the majority cases, the or the 95% cases, we make the proof of concept. We come to one certainty where licensing will be very easily can be, you know, accepted by the licensing partner. It should be a complex, not generic product. So that the licensing revenue can be a substantial licensing revenue and continuous licensing revenue, not only up to the filing, approval, after launch, the life cycle of all these products, wherever the licensing we are going to do it, will be not less than 3 to 7 years minimum.
Got it. And secondly, sir, one question on this peptide developments where we are on semaglutide and teraglutide. Where exactly what stage we are right now? And if I understand, this is for the CDMO.
No, we are not doing any semaglutide. Who said you that semaglutide we have?
I was just guessing that this comes under the CDMO part, or this is where we are developing the APIs for this?
No, I don't think such a confidential information we can discuss on this, but I think I can tell you that it is currently we are not doing any SEMA in our Shilpa portfolio alone.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Participants
who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one. We'll take the next question from the line of Vishal Kapoor, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Perfect. Thank you. And thank you so much for the opportunity. And the first question is regarding the ODS, the green team films which we are manufacturing. I just wanted to ask, is it in the Indian market we are targeting or selling it? Because if you look at the product on the online, we are not able to find it online. So just wanted to ask something about that. Where we are marketing in India. Yes, for the film.
Breaking, but anyway. You are asking on a film formulation. Am I correct?
Yes, film formulation. Yes, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, US film formulation. We have launched the 5 products into the US along with the partner. In the US online, nutraceutical and OTC products we have already got. It is picking up very well. So slowly we are getting the traction in the online launch. And I think the business is growing, that much I can tell you. As we have received very good response from the US market.
Okay, that's good. And also to check about the green tea films, we are selling in the Indian markets as well? If yes, are we selling it through the online channels like D2C, or are we selling to the normal traditional channels like distributors and like that?
Green tea, currently we have very few in India market, but in US market we have launched.
All right. Thanks for that. And congratulations for the good set of numbers, and the efforts are being highly appreciated. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one now. Ladies and gentlemen, as that was the last question, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everybody, for your continued interest in Shilpa. And, we all of us at Shilpa wish you all a very happy Diwali. And, those of you who have got the New Year's coming up, we wish you a very happy and prosperous New Year to come. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Shilpa Medicare, we conclude this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Happy Diwali to one and all. Thank you very much.